Hello everyone, it's Nico here in Sakluma Podcast. We talk. Yes, I'm here to tell you guys this is a fantastic lineup of the guests this month coming and this month as well. So this is a small trailer. You're going to hear me talking to Uri Anoy and Yana Salakova. Yana, she's a Ukrainian citizen and activist and a theater. She works on the theater, using theater to deal with pain. But in this particular topic, we're going to be talking about these things we hear every day, especially in my community. People talking about why Ukraine refugees are treated differently than other refugees. I thought, I think we better get someone from that country to actually talk to me and not explain, but in her opinion, what she thinks. And she's a very experienced person because she worked with refugees before in different countries as well. And now she uses theater as well to communicate about the world. So Uri is the same as well. He's based in Italy. He works with the migrants in Italy. And Daniel Lott is one of my best mentors as well. So you're going to hear me talking to these wonderful people, two wonderful people here. So the full episode will be coming up in a few weeks. But for now, let me give you a little bit clip of what is coming next week. Then we're going to line up. I've got another author coming to the podcast as well, Elika. She wrote a book about refugees. She used to work in Greece in the camp for 5 years. So that's fantastic. Line up and said, so this podcast, just to let you know, is about the purpose of the podcast, by the way, is about raising awareness on the refugee and asylum seekers issues that matters around the world. So that's what I'm here for today, and wonderful guest coming up. So yeah, keep on listening and share it if you can. So yeah, that's me now talking to Uri and Yana.
Podcast and just focusing on the refugee asylum topics, because in my community, there is comparison about refugees. People always say, oh, why Ukraine refugees are looked after better in UK? I mean to say, than other refugees. Then I realized even myself, no, there's a different system here, because the asylum seekers, people from Ukraine, they've already been accepted by the UK government. So the other ones in my community, they're not yet given the status. So you can't really fight these two. So the debate's still on in my community. So it would be nice to get someone who can maybe classify a bit to clear this kind of confusion.
Mm. Yes, I already aware about this narrative, and there is a lot of like accusations that Ukrainians are in much more favorable situation than another people from another countries is also fled the war and various persecution in their countries. I already talked to local feminists also in Poland and in some other country. My response would be, take this practice that now EU opened out and advocate that now it should be accessible for all asylum seekers, and just really refer to it as a great practice that now need to be applied to each and every person who is applying for asylum in EU countries. Because definitely this EU directive is discriminatory. It's now is applied only for nationals of one country because of their citizenship, which is really discriminatory. And but of course we could just say, okay, why this is for them, but I really go for advocacy and say, guys, okay, this is great. You make this great practice. Let's do it accessible for everyone. So I would go for this like a kind of positive message, just not to fight between us as an asylum seekers and those people who need protection, but we are from different countries, but just to unite our efforts, just to make sure that this practice of getting access to basic social rights and needs would be accessible to everyone, and just refer that, okay, you really managed to do this. You're great guys. Make it accessible for everyone. Why Ukrainians should be treated differently from Eritrean people, from people from Zimbabwe, I don't know, from any country of the world where people really have to flee their country and search for asylum. So this is would be my response. And because they already did this practice, it works. It's easier to advocate, make it accessible for us as well. Because it's for me, legally, it's purely discriminatory. And we need to make sure that EU now not make it preferable for one people and not for another. It doesn't make any sense in that case.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That was really, yeah, powerful. I can hear that. But I'm just going to pass it to Uri.
Yeah, no, like I think it's a great point also, Nico and Jana, you know, I think sometimes people refer to this as like the, you know, the fight between the poor and how the system kind of generates this kind of messages that sends the poor, the people without resources to fight for the resources. And we normalize that, you know, we say, oh, you know, you had it easy. And when I came to this country, then, you know, it was harder. And, you know, it becomes a little game we play, you know. But of course, this game is exactly what we're normalizing the system somehow through that game. So, and I like this invitation from Jana, you know, use that to advocate because now it makes it, I think that's something really clear that the refugee crisis from Ukraine made very visible several things, including what it look like if the European Union will decide to be more proactive with welcoming, you know, in an imperfect way, because I'm sure there are still Ukrainians that are meeting all sorts of difficulties. Well, some of them are psychological, social, coming from the war, leaving your country, which is in no conditions is an easy or a pleasant thing to do, especially when I think it was completely, and maybe we can go into that, quite unexpected, you know. So I think that everybody got shocked from this. I think many people thought until the end that it, even though there were signs that it wouldn't happen, and still it's happening. And I think on different levels, everybody is right now acting from in as a direct result of the shock and of that. You know, and so I think once we act, when we say things, because words are powerful, you know, just connecting with the newspaper theater that Jana, you were sharing. And, you know, I come, you know, I'm not really religious, but I come from a Jewish tradition. And I think in our mysticism and in our practice, words are really important. Words are magic. You know, words are the magic, are the, you know, written word, you know, in the mysticism part of Judaism, when people do like curses and blesses, it's everything is through the words. So the words are written, you know, and I think when we think about it like this as newspaper or law, that the words that we put on paper or even virtually, they are powerful. And they have power on their own almost, you know, once we create them. But then they have power on their own. And then the newspaper theater, what I feel it can do, not always, but it can do, is allow us to retake some of this power that the words have on us, which is always human made, because words are human inventions always. But how do we repossess of the words and the medium of producing words, which is the other part of theater of the oppressed, newspaper theater, like to reclaim the means of production. So reclaim the means of production on the cultural sphere, you know. So I feel this is really important. And thank you for sharing and doing the work. I find myself very affected by the war in Ukraine on the psychosocial, and I'm not Ukrainian, you know, and I find myself again and again going to certain websites and collective media and feeling the effect on me, activated on me in different ways. You know, one way is that I feel my memories of a soldier are activated and the whole war and conflict, which is much more physically near than to me in Italy than other wars, but also other aspects, and I find myself very easily sucked in into this vortex of information. So